Thank y'all. Y'all did a great job. That was awesome. I was just thinking as y'all were doing that, you know, what does it mean to be thankful? You know, it's not just saying it, right? As people say that all the time. Thankfulness, I think it's got to, it's almost like you got to know what it's like not to have, to be thankful for what you do have. And so I think being thankful probably takes some time to sit and think on and meditate on. Like, just for example, let's say you only had one arm, okay? And then you wake up one day and you got two arms. I know that sounds silly, right? But you'd be really thankful for that second arm, wouldn't you? Right? You know? Or like, let's say you only could breathe at like half lung capacity, and one day you wake up and you can breathe at full lung capacity. You'd be very thankful for that. I think that being thankful requires an exercise of concentration and focus and meditation to just think about the things. I think the song is important. I know it's an older song that we sung earlier, Count Your Many Blessings, but when you count something, you're taking account of that thing, right? Like an accountant. Sit down with the numbers and how much money's come in, how much money's went out, right? Look at the receipts. Look at this. They make an accounting of it. And I think that if we want to be people that practice gratitude, we have to sit down and probably write those things out, because I think they may get lost in your mind at times. So, just something to think about. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I've probably shared from this passage before. But in honor of it being Thanksgiving week, I want us to focus on how we can give thanks as a people who have much, much, much more than the world to be thankful for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says this: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. God, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us through your word, Lord, and that today when we leave out of this place, Lord, we will be more grateful than when we walked in. God, that you will remind us of all of the great things that you have blessed us with and all of the reasons that we are to be thankful. Help us to see that in your word. I pray, Father, today that if there's a person in this room that doesn't have salvation as a reason to be thankful, that they don't know you yet, God, they will see the beauty of the grace that you offer through your Son, Jesus, who died on a cross for our sins, God, and they will turn to you and believe. And we know that that is a work that your Spirit does, just like the wind blows and we know not where it comes from. And we pray today, God, for the presence of your Spirit in this place to move in power. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at this verse, just his instructions for us to be thankful. And then we're going to look at some reasons we should be thankful from a biblical viewpoint. And then finally we'll look at some ways we can show our thanks. Okay, so we just kind of move from the passage into some practical reasons, and then hopefully we can have some application. Right? Have you ever noticed how difficult it is for some people to say thank you? You may not experience that, but for some it's very difficult, because to say thank you is to give away power. It is something that gives away pride. It gives away independence. When you say thank you to a person, And especially to God, it's an act of humility. That you are saying, you have given me something, and I am grateful for it. Now, many of us, when a person will do something for us, we will say thank you, but then we will immediately try to repay it, right? Instead of receiving a thing for a person. And that's maybe the way that we feel like we can show that we're thankful for what has happened. The word thanks is mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament and 71 times in the New Testament. It was an essential part of the nation of Israel. It was an essential part of the early church. And it ought to be an essential part of the church today. In Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, the psalmist writes this, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." And the people back in the times of the Israelites, they would come to the temple, and on their way, they would be in groups, and they would sing on their way to the temple, on their way to church. And so that's why he says there, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So I just wonder, how often is that our mindset when we come in to church? Like, look, I'm coming in with a grateful and a thankful heart. And this is the way that we ought to be. And I am thankful for this church. My wife and I and my children, we are thankful to be a part of this group. We've been here for over 5 years now, right? Isn't that crazy? It seems, for some of you, it's been longer than that, right? And it also seems like it hasn't been that long as well. But we're thankful because this church, it seems, has made us their family. We feel like family here. And we are thankful for that. It's hard for us, you know, to go from place to place that we've been and meet all new people and have to start over becoming family. And we are grateful for that here. And also, I'm grateful, he's not here today, I don't think, but it's crazy. My brother lives 2 miles down the road. We're not from here, all right? But he just happened to live here when I came here. And I'm thankful to God for that. And I think we should be thankful as a church for God allowing us to worship together. So just look around in here and just know that these are the people around you, people that you may not know that well yet, but these are the people that God has put you with, placed you with, to be in fellowship together to worship Him. This is your group that you get to worship with, that you get to know, that you get to encourage, that you get to lift up, and at times that you have to rebuke or you have to receive rebuke, all in an effort to grow you up into more Christ-likeness. So we're blessed to have that. Now notice Paul's instruction to the church at Thessalonica. He says, first of all, give thanks in all circumstances. Most of us, when we are pressed to say what we are thankful for, we say our family, our health, our friends, and our possessions. Those are kind of the main things. And these are fine things to say that we are thankful for. But there is much more. Because Paul goes beyond these things. He says, be thankful in all circumstances. In all circumstances, when things do not go right, when they don't go as you hoped that they would, are you thankful? When your car won't start, when you get sick, when your family gets sick, when things break, when your day gets off track, when you don't get the job that you wanted or the assignment, or someone is ugly to you or rude to you. And just imagine how different the world would be if everyone was just thankful no matter what. In all circumstances, no matter what happened to them, they continued to have a grateful heart. That is truly an odd thing to see. Right? Most people, when things don't go their way, they lose it. They break down. They melt right before you. They can't handle it. But just to think about how little harm would be done in the world, how much sin would be covered if we practice thankfulness in all circumstances. And I want you to apply this singularly in your own life. If in all circumstances you give thanks, and listen, you may go, this seems impossible, because you're probably thinking that I'm saying be thankful for the bad circumstance. No, I'm not saying be thankful for bad times. I'm saying be thankful in the bad times. You understand the difference, right? Like, I'm not thankful when certain members of my family died. Like, I'm not glad that they passed away. Now, I'm happy for them if they're gone on to be with the Lord. I'm truly grateful for that. I'm not glad when my truck breaks down, which God really watches over my vehicle so often, it seems. I'm not thankful for that happening, but I can be thankful in that. You see? I would rather have a truck that broke down than no truck at all, right? Right? You know, I would rather have food to eat that doesn't taste that good than no food to eat. Like, so we could just go on and on and on with examples. And so we should apply this. Be thankful in all circumstances. God does nothing and allows nothing by accident. He is always sovereign, and He is always for His children. And I wonder what difference it would make in your heart and in your life if you were always thankful, if you were always grateful. I wonder if it would settle the restlessness of your heart. You know, we our hearts are always just bubbling up, wanting this, wanting that. Because we often lack contentment. Just imagine if you were thankful in all things. Would it calm your nerves? Would it refresh your soul? Would it subdue your anger? Would it free you up to have good attitudes? So I ask the question, are you thankful this morning? Not now, because we've been talking about it, but just think back to this morning. Was there a heart of gratitude in you this morning? There are many that are. Many that practice gratefulness. But then there are lots of complainers, right? How many of you know a grumbler? Okay. All right. How many of you are grumblers? Okay. All right. We got a few honest people in here. So, for the grumbler, it seems that nothing's good enough, right? They can be overly critical. People that would rather climb a tree to grumble than stand on the ground to show gratitude, right? And we don't want to be like that. It shows up in their face too. Like a lot of people that are grumblers, it just shows up in their face. You can see it. But God's Word says to us, be thankful in all circumstances. When you're up, when you're down, when you're sideways, give thanks. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's giving you opportunity to say this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God. And then he says this, "For this is the will of God." Many spend so much time wondering, what is God's will in my life? God, what do you want from me? And we look to the stars, and we look at bumper stickers, and we look for license plates, and we listen for songs. And you may go, that's silly. People really, just so you know, people do that often. Like, I hear it all about it all the time. You know, I was wondering what God wanted me to do, and then I saw this bumper sticker, and then they're always looking for these signs. But the Bible says, here is God's will in your life. If you were to walk up to the throne and say, "Father, what would you have me to do? What is your will in my life?" One of the main things that he would say is, be grateful. Be thankful. I want you to be thankful. This is my will for you. And I want you to think about the gravity of that statement. God's will for you is to be thankful. Young people, listen to me. When that person in your class gets more attention than you, be thankful. Like when someone on the team is better than you, be grateful. Be grateful in that circumstance. Maybe it'll drive you to be better. Maybe it won't. It won't matter. Be grateful that you play. Be grateful that you're there. Look, I know life can be a pain. I get it. But I think we exacerbate the problem when we live our lives without contentment. It causes us to put others down, to cut them down, to gossip about them, to try to make others look bad so that we look better. If you're a person that does that, if you're a person that speaks about people in an ill way, it's likely because you are not a thankful person. You're likely not grateful. You're probably not happy with yourself. So practice these things. Rejoice when others rejoice. Weep when others weep. Don't be happy for their fall. Don't be jealous over their success. Be grateful. This is the will of God for you. But then he says this, in Christ Jesus. So don't overlook that. It's a reminder that all the good that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. He has created us. Without Him, nothing that was made was made. And if we are in Christ, we ought to be overflowing with thankfulness, for it is Christ that makes all good things possible. Now, I want us to consider some reasons to be thankful for this morning, to show our gratitude. Here are some reasons to be thankful. All of these have been made available through the grace of Almighty God. Number one, He's given us life. In Genesis 1, it says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. In Psalm 139, it says, You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. No matter what the schools tell you or told you, you are not the result of rain falling on rocks and microorganisms or whatever, and you just pop into life by random chance. You're in your body, there's a DNA code that is so complicated that they still haven't even figured it out yet. It's a code written in your body. Just, if I was to hand this to you and I was to say, here, how do you think this came to be? All these pages with all these notes to make music and song and sound and all these words that go together and teach a thing, you would say, somebody wrote that, right? Like you would say that. This is nothing compared to the complexity of you. And none of us in our right mind in here would say, well, I'm pretty sure they threw some ink in a lab and some paper, no, a tree and some ink, and then they just washed it around for a billion years, and then this came out of it. Not one of us would think that that was a logical thing to think. And so that means that when we say God has given you life, He has created every part of you. Something for you to be thankful for. The things that He has made you capable of. And I think it would free you up for success in your life. It'd free you up to love others more if you were more thankful for the things that God has done for you. So be thankful for life. Never think for one second that any strength or skill or ability that we possess is because of our own creating of them. God has gifted us. A potter cannot shape clay into a shape if he was never given the clay. Another thing to be thankful for is the ability to work. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13, so it says also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. That is God's gift to man. So we should be thankful that we have the ability. Now, how many of you are thankful that you got to go to work in the morning? Anybody? All right, Julian. One person, you know, the retired people in here are like, ah, suckers. That's, yeah, did that, done. But if we did think like that, and if we thought about that about school, listen, I'll be honest with you. I loved school growing up. School was my favorite place to be because school meant I wasn't working on the farm. So I was always very grateful for that. So you just need to think in terms of it could be worse than having to get up and go to work or get up and go to school. You could be getting up and have nothing to go to. So we must think about these things. So be thankful for the ability to work. Also be thankful that your needs are met. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 33 says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So your food and your shelter, your clothing, your family, your vehicle, your electricity, be thankful to God for the provision of these things. Be thankful for your finances and your possessions. In Ecclesiastes chapter 15, verse 19, he says, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. So a gift is a thing given to you that you should be thankful for. And in this verse, Solomon is saying, if you've been given wealth or possessions or power to enjoy them, this is a gift from God. Job said, when he lost everything that he had, his wife said, curse God and die. She was a foolish woman. Job says, will we not take from the Lord the good and the bad? See, Job understood. He recognized that God was the giver of all things. Now, what if you struggle with these things? How do you handle if you struggle with not having enough money? Not having the ability to pay for things? Well, I would say that is becoming an increasingly common situation in our country. But I would say be thankful for what you do have and then pray for God's provision. Pray for God's provision. Share this concern with other people. Ask for their prayer and for their help. The scriptures indicate that God will hear this. And then in the midst of that, work hard to manage what you have. and then work hard to increase them if that is your need. Work hard. Do your best. Think through, like, you know, is there some area of my life, God, that I haven't given over to you? Sometimes God disciplines us for various reasons. Sometimes God says, I don't want you to have that, because if you have that, you're going to fall into sin like this. I don't know. But in prayer, God will reveal many of these things to you. So those are some things to be thankful for. Obviously, we have many more, right? Now, let me share just a few, and these, some of these will seem the same, but there are different aspects to them, and these are more from a spiritual standpoint. So we should be thankful for our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So once you were lost, but now many of you have been saved. We were wandering around, many of us, with little idea of what was really going on. Like myself, I thought I was going to heaven. I thought, well, of course, that's where you go if you believe that there is a God. But I'm thankful to God that He opened my eyes up to see that I did not have a relationship with Him. That just knowing that God exists, and knowing that Jesus is His Son, and knowing that Jesus is God, these are not things that get me into heaven. That only repentance and faith in Christ will bring about my salvation. It's amazing what God has done. And so for some of us in here, you know, you've been walking around with two arms, and so it's hard for you to know what it'd be like to live with one arm. Because maybe you got saved at a very early age. And all of your life has been knowing Christ. But just if you could, try to imagine what it would be like not to know Him. And then to have received that grace. I think it would make you more grateful. So our salvation. Another spiritual thing to be thankful for is eternal life. You may go, well, salvation, eternal life, they're not necessarily the same thing, but our salvation leads to eternal life, right? Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so this means that if you know Jesus, you never have to die. Like, your body will stop working on this earth. But you will exist in the presence of God forever. Which is kind of cool. Now, a lot of people go, "Oh, I don't want to live forever. It's been such a drag." Well, that's because you're in a fallen body. And you live in a fallen world. And it's frustrating. And you got to work for what you earn. And you got to do this and you got to do that. And you got to put up with getting sick or getting old or getting frustrated or having kids that don't listen or having parents that won't listen or won't understand or whatever kind of things. We could go on and on, you know. It's like Ecclesiastes says, the day of death is better than the day of birth. All right? You think, oh, that doesn't sound right until you live a little while. And then you realize, oh, that sounds pretty good. Some of you that are in the older years of your life, you're thinking, death doesn't sound as bad anymore. For those of us, some of you that are younger, you're like, oh, I don't want to die. I want to experience everything. Well, God will bless you. Okay? God will bless you and you get to experience lots of things and it'll be so much fun. And you ought to be thankful for all of them, right? In all circumstances. But what I'm saying is, God has eternal life. And that isn't just living forever. That's joy forever. That's pleasure forever. That's, you don't realize it. Like, I read something yesterday about, like, they're asking the question, is God egomaniacal? Like, is He an egomaniac? Like, praise me, lift up your voices and worship me. Is God doing that because He's this pride-filled supreme being that just has this need for people to say good things about Him, right? No, He doesn't need that. He doesn't need a syllable off of your lips. He doesn't need praise. He doesn't need thanks. He is perfectly, perfectly content as He is. But you need the praise. You need the worship. The only way that you can experience the fullness of joy is to be in the presence of God and in worship to God. That is the truest and the greatest joy. And just think about it. A lot of us think that sin will provide the things that we want, the joys that we need. I heard, maybe it was at camp this year, and the guy called it the cul-de-sac of stupidity, where like you keep going to sin, and you go, well, let me get a little bit more, and it just never satisfies you. And you're like, well, if I get a little bit more of it, maybe it will. If I do this way, or maybe look, and it just never, it's just like running in circles. It never satisfies. Only God can satisfy, and He gives us eternal life for that. Jesus described this eternal life like this in John 4. It says, everyone who drinks of this water, He was given water, talking about water at a well. He says, they will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A thing where we're always wanting more and always content, always having. This is what God does. Another spiritual reason to be thankful is the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to those asking, what must we do to be saved? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is how you know you're truly saved. You can look at this, look at your actions, look at that, talk to this person, whatever. But the Spirit of God dwelling in you is the only assurance that you know that you're His. And that is God placing Himself within us. Now just think about that. Those of you in here that have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you can only explain Him. You can't take Him out, show Him to another person. Now you can exhibit His work in your life to other people. They can see Him in the way that you behave, in the way that you act sometimes, but maybe sometimes you don't show it. But the truth is this, when you walk daily and you have the Spirit, what a gift that is. What a gift it is to have God to comfort you and lead you and guide you and to teach you and to convict you and do all these things for you. What a blessing it is. And then finally, a spiritual reason, and there are many more to be thankful, and this is tied to our salvation and eternal life, but it is our justification. In Romans chapter 3, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What makes this gift so amazing is that we have such a problem. There is no way man can be justified or made right. That's what the word means. Okay? There's no way you can look right standing before God on your own. There's no possible way. If you've broken one command, what does the Bible say? How many are you guilty of? All of them. We're in big trouble. Right? Like you look at Eve. She took from the tree. And she fell. And the next thing you know, her son kills her other son. Like that's the result of sin. Like we have no ability, like we can't say, oh, well, I did this thing, God, and I did this thing, and I did this thing. God, will this be enough to get me into heaven? And He'll say, no, it doesn't make you right with me to do these things. But you can be justified, made right with God through Christ. Through faith in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we are made right. That's the blessing that God gives us. So it is something to be thankful for, that you stand before God one day. You will stand before Him, and He will see you as He sees His Son. Now, to close out, here are some ways that you can respond with gratitude. Number one, overflow with praise. Like, live a life of praise. Choose time every day to praise God. Like, take time to do that. Psalm 28 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him. I just, like, answer in your mind right now. Like, you don't have to answer out loud. How many times have you taken to praise God this week? Not including today. Today doesn't count. So from Monday to Saturday, how much praise have you given to God? That's a way to respond in thanks. Number two, we should obey the commands that He has given to us to give. Like, He's given to us, and we should give back. Number three, devote yourself to the study of His Word. If you're thankful to God, let that show up in your reading of His Word. If you read Psalm 119, it speaks of how great His Word is, that we are blessed if we walk in it, that they are a delight. We can trust in it. We can hope in it. We are to meditate on it. It keeps us from sinning against God. His Word lasts forever. It gives life. It's a lamp for the feet and a light for the path. It gives wisdom and knowledge that we did not possess before getting into it. So devote yourselves to the studying of God's Word. Also, a way to respond in thanks to God is devote yourself to prayer. Like, be a person that spends time in prayer. Pick times out of the day to pray, to get yourself in line with God. Prayer is not a time simply just to ask for what you need. That's only one small part of the Lord's Prayer. There's so many other things to do in prayer, exalting God, praising Him, asking for His will to be done, asking for forgiveness of sins, asking for spiritual protection, asking for the ability to forgive others when they've done wrong against you, all of these different things. And then also, give us this day our daily bread. A fifth way to show your thankfulness is to devote yourself to evangelism and disciple making. If you are truly grateful that God has brought you into His kingdom, like, if you're truly thankful for that, you should want to bring others in as well. Amen. And you should want to help raise them up, help grow them in Christ. Another way that you can show you're thankful is to devote yourself to service. Serve others. Devote yourselves to love. Love others. And finally, obey His commands. Obey what He says. When we're thankful, we'll do this. That's hard. It's not easy. I'm not saying this is easy. But if you sit down every day and you say, I am thankful, I am grateful for this, and for this, and for this, and you ask God, help me show my gratitude to You, He'll help you. And you'll fall, and you'll be thankful for His grace. You'll be thankful His mercy to pick you up. So a time of invitation, a time of response. I want you to understand, this is not a time that is only for if you've never come to Christ to come down here. This is a time to respond to what God has said in the message today. This is a time for you to respond. Maybe you're like, you know, I have not been as grateful as I should be. I should repent of that, right? Remember He says to the church at Ephesus, remember where you've fallen from. Repent and do the things you did at first. All right, so that's what we do. And He's patient with us and understanding. And so we come to Him and we just get on our knees and we say, God, help me. I've struggled with contentment here. I've struggled with gratefulness there. So you respond to God. And if you have never come to Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to have something to truly be thankful for today. Let's pray. God, we ask that You have this time, Lord. And God, that You will have Your will. God, that we will be grateful to You for the grace that You have given to us. Lord, that we will respond to You by allowing our what we think in our mind and our heart to become action, Lord, to truly show how thankful we are. We pray for Your Spirit's work in our hearts, God, that it will align us with Your will. God, that we will see things in clarity and wisdom. God, that we'll be a blessing to other people. Lord, help us for our gratitude to overflow in blessings for other people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.